My name is Jay Harris. I guess you could say Reverend Jay Harris. I've just retired from 50 years in ministry. I started at a little church out by the air base when my dad was in the Air Force, and I was on church staff out there at Temple Baptist Church with them while I was in high school. And so, graduated from Douglas in 1970. So I'm a South Dakotan in that way, but a Texan because we lived all over the place. And my folks retired from the Air Force here, and have my dad's buried in the Black Hills National Cemetery, and mom's 100 years old, will be 101 in September. She's still going full blast, and is an amazing lady. She just needs one of us to be with her during the, you know, in her apartment. She's not in a nursing facility, won't go to one either. And so, so 50 years ago, I didn't even know this was going to happen when I was up here this year. We're up here for about 4 months now for this time, and then we'll be, my sister will fill in, and then we'll come back in. But I had been away at Oklahoma Baptist University down in Oklahoma, and had come back here just for the month of June. And I had worked at Kmart, camera department, while I was in high school. So they said, come on back, you know, we can take vacation while you're working for us and stuff. So I got to work for a month there with them and to do things around here. And we had on the night of the 8th, I remember it well because it's now my wife's birthday is June 8th. Mm-hmm. And I had called her in Oklahoma and talked with her. And but we were just dating back then. And so anyway, that evening, a friend of mine from high school, from Douglas, Kirk Lee, who was an airman in the Air Force at that time, and he was on leave, he was over at our house and another friend of ours, and we decided to go over to Major Lou All's house. He and his wife had been our Sunday school teachers as youth when we were young people, and so they had retired from the Air Force and moved into town. They were living just to the south of Star Motel, kind of the high area there on the south side of the hill. And so anyway, we were over there that evening, and we saw the rain. It was coming down. I drove my little Volkswagen Bug over there, and we had supper, and we shared. Every once in a while, we'd check on the radio and stuff, and it was just heavy rain. We weren't worried about it. So we had a wonderful time visiting with them, and we started to leave to go back to my parents' house, which was on the other side of the floodplain, and we didn't know at the time, you know, because they lived over near the Camp Rapid up on the raised area up there. And so about 11 o'clock, we started to leave, and we couldn't get out the front door. It was raining buckets. And just, you know, it was like there's no way, even with an umbrella, we could get to the car and get in without being just completely soaked to the skin. So I called mom and said, we're going to be a while. You know, the weather's still bad. We're going to at least wait till it clears up, and we may even stay longer. And so anyway, we stayed in there, and it was about right around midnight. I don't know exactly the time. The power goes out completely. And so we're thinking, okay, we get the candles out and so forth, and still raining buckets outside. So in a little bit, it wasn't that long, the power comes back on. And but it was still raining pretty heavily, so we weren't in any hurry to leave. We were enjoying visiting with everyone. And he had some problems with the drainage in his basement, so we worked with the sump pump on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it was about 1 o'clock, 1:30 or something in the morning. And Lou, the major from the Air Force, says, why don't we go? We couldn't get anything on the radio. Telephones weren't working, basically, and no TV, nothing. The only thing, we'd scan slowly through the radio, and we could get Minneapolis. You know, you couldn't get, so there was nothing about the condition in Rapid City. Hmm. And so he said, let's go take a look. And so Kirk Lee, the airman, and Major Alls and myself got in his Bronco, and we got over toward 8th Street and started toward downtown. You know how you kind of come over a rise and down into a turn into Rapid City, into the downtown part. And as we came over that, the lights and the electricity ended, and it was just pitch black, except all the way across the horizon were fires. Now that scares you. You know that Rapid City's there, and yet all you see is pitch black and fires all along there where the houses have been pushed off of their foundations and the gas lines broken and fires erupted. And so we drove down. We couldn't even get to Kansas City Street. The water was running down the road there. And we realized, man, this thing's a long way from Rapid Creek. You know, that's all the way on the other side of Omaha. And it's still, there's water running down the street here. So we thought, well, let's go to the police station and check. So we drove down like past Central High, the old Central High, and over to East Street and right up there where the police station was. And that's when we got our first sight of East Street as it crossed the train tracks there out in front of McKee Motors. And the cars were all shoved up against the building there. And the train signal was leaning at an angle about like that, and it was just dinging away. And this water was flowing like crazy through there. No trains, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we went, oh, my. And so we went into the police station. It was flooded out. But there was a police officer sitting there with a Coleman lantern at the front door, and he was clearly in shock. Mm-hmm. He was saying, he was just kind of glazed over, and he said, Rapid City's just destroyed, and there are bodies everywhere. And we said, well, what can we do to help? And he said, go over to the courthouse. They're handling things. That's where we're operating from, because we're underwater here. The communications and everything had gone. So we drove over there, and I'm expecting them to say, oh, yeah, we got it all in hand. Thank you for offering it. No, they said, we need you to take a police radio, and you go over to the area on South Campbell, just south of the the state fairgrounds over there by Family Thrift and Taco John's and stuff like that. And he says, watch for looters, look for safety things, help anybody that needs help over there, and come back here by 6 o'clock in the morning. So this is from about 2:30 till about 6. And we went over there. We had to block off Campbell Street because people were trying to drive across it with the floodwaters going across it. And we helped a lady get her prescription drugs out of her mobile home. That was a mobile home park right behind Taco John's, and there was one over there where the state fairgrounds is, and both of them were just, one was completely wiped out, and this one was almost all. Did some security work around that. And so we went back over at 6 o'clock to the courthouse. And I guess Lou talked to them about who we were. And I don't remember anybody asking my name about anything. But because the two of them were Air Force, they said, well, we're putting together a team of Air Force, National Guard, police, fire. And so we're going to put you on that team. We got us all together, and they had a Green Beret captain that was working with the National Guard that was our group. And he got us in, and he said, guys, we've been working on rescue and stuff all night long. There are people doing that. There's a need for something else, though, now. Now there's a need for body recovery. And so we're the body recovery team. You know, and I'm thinking, I think I'd rather do something else. You know, can I do something more fun? You know, and he said, we're getting contact from people saying, you know, there's a body in our front yard, or there's something, or I think there's one couple said there's a college student renting our basement apartment and he hadn't come out. And we went over by just east of East Street on Omaha. It was our first place, and most of those houses were frame houses with basements. And if the house was still there, the basement was flooded for sure, but some of the houses were gone. The basement was just a big hole, some with cars in them. And so we found that young college student had drowned, and found a baby, an infant, and found some senior adults, a couple. And one of the things I had to do there was a car was down in one of the basements where the house was gone. And so they tied a rope around my waist, and I climbed out on the hood of the car and then got a shovel, broke the windshield out, and then reached down in there to see if there was anybody in the car. And I was praying there wasn't anybody, because that I would have just probably died right there. But but we had to do that, a lot of that type of thing. And there were fewer people in cars because it was midnight. There weren't people driving around that much. But they were in the houses and so forth. So we worked around there. We ended up going back down Omaha to the west and went over by where Mountain View tees into Omaha. And right there at that time, there was a Cadillac dealership on the west, southwest corner, and Rice Honda dealership was on where there's a soccer field now. Mm-hmm. And all those cars and stuff were washed off and things were trashed out. But we went there right across the street where the creek goes in, and it had come from behind Bacon Park where there were a lot of houses. So there were a lot of bodies out in there, and we pulled out a bunch of folk. And we had a 3/4-ton Army truck that would take the bodies and run them to the morgue. And then they'd come back and we'd get the next batch, you know, to go. And I guess we saw some of the best and the worst of Rapid City. We had some jokers come up with their cameras wanting to take pictures of the bodies and stuff. And, you know, I'm glad I didn't have to say anything to them. The police officers dispatched them very quickly and got rid of them. Mm-hmm. But at that same place, a big country squire white station wagon pulled up with the wood paneling on the side and backed up to us. Two ladies jumped out of that station wagon, laid down the fold-down back door of that thing and said, "You guys come over here and get something to eat." And they had sandwiches and drinks and stuff, and we just kind of zombied over there, and they fed us, and then they were off to help someone else, you know. I thought that was really a cool thing. At that same place, there's a bridge that's right by going up towards Chicago Street there, that's right across the creek, and it was actually at an angle, and there was a guy trying to drive his car across it, and one of the policemen in our group stopped him and said, "You can't go across this bridge; it could collapse at any point." And the guy said, "I've got to get over there," and he said, "No, you can't go. You have to go find another way," and he started to push the officer with his car. When the officer reached back and did like this, you know, put his hand on the butt of his service pistol, and the guy decided he was serious. And so we ended up getting a front loader that was in the area trying to help folks to pull the leftovers of those big brand new Cadillacs over to block that whole street so no one could try to get across that bridge. I heard yesterday of a guy that was with the National Guard who drove a 2.5-ton deuce and a half truck with a water trailer across that thing, and they didn't think they were going to make it, and he got across and got over to the hospital over by Bacon Park before it blew the engine on the truck. So I thought that was the connections are really coming back and doing neat. So anyway, after we did that, we moved back toward to the east several blocks, and there had been right across where on Omaha where the food trucks are, and they have the volleyball courts and everything on that side there. On that side, there were houses out there, but they were all gone. And the water had receded, so the creek receded from its flood stage by 5 o'clock in the morning. It was a beautiful day, except all the horrible sights you'd see. But we stopped there, and some guys got out in a flat-bottom boat to try to check in the cars and the houses and the debris that was out there. So the rest of us sat down on the curb. Well, that probably wasn't very good for our usability. We were sitting there, and in the water that was kind of flowing by, a small fry from the fish hatchery swam by. Mm-hmm. And one of the guard troops looked down there and said, "My God, it's good to see something alive for a change." Mm-hmm. And every one of us went, and you could just see the adrenaline and what we were going on just soak out of us. And so the Green Beret captain came to us after they came back in. He said, "You guys have done a good job." He said, "We've got folks that have come in and are relieving us. There are other teams that are working now. And so you guys, you know, you've worked all night long. You've worked all day today. And you've done a job that was very, very hard to do. But it was something we needed to do." And he said, "We appreciate it. And you guys go get some food, get a shower, get some rest. And just thank you for what you've done." And so, you know, that was my experience there. I went from here, because I said I was only here a month, I went back to Oklahoma, and I worked in a youth in Falls Creek Baptist encampment. There was just a massive group for summer camp. And as a staffer from Oklahoma Baptist University, we were available to talk about the school, or we were available to do devotionals and services in the individual cabins every night. And so every night for every week of that, because they were very interested in hearing what had happened just a few weeks before, the kids listened to me share about that and how I saw God protecting me. I should have driven right smack into the water if we were going home, if we'd kept going. And how he used me through that experience, and how important life is, and how fragile life is, and how you really need to take it seriously, and keep your relationships with your family, keep them good and strong. Don't let them, you know, because you don't know if you have tomorrow. And keep your relationship, keep your feelings of yourself healthy, and keep your relationship with the Lord healthy and strong, because you don't know if you have even the next day. Now, I don't want to get fear into them or anything, but just the reality of it. Because I said, all of us on Friday night, we were you know, there was a band concert over at Stevens, and there was a, you know, there were, we were having a good time over with our friends at their house that night, and people were doing this and that, and it was just like, okay, it's a big rainstorm, but we've never had a flood in Rapid City. You know, we've had some high water, but nothing of any danger. And then this happened, and it was like, oh my.